If you want to get a sense of New England's energy systems, past, present, and future, Sandwich is a good place to go.
Yeah, it's very nice, and I think it's very historical. And I like this kind of the New England atmosphere very much.
Takayuki Terai is visiting from Japan. He's walking down the historic main drag, snapping photos of the Federalist-style homes and inns for which Sandwich is known. But look closely, and the village is full of jarring juxtapositions. Electric Christmas lights adorn a display next to a centuries-old water wheel. A streetlight, meant to look like a gas lantern, instead holds a compact fluorescent bulb. And Terai points to the power lines that crisscross views of Main Street.
I think that the air barrier is not so good for the sightseeing or for the historical area.
Terai doesn't like the idea of solar panels either.
I think it should be maintained as this is.
And herein lies the problem. We love our electric lights and digital devices, but we like to keep the sources of that power out of sight, out of mind. It's no wonder, really. Making electricity is an industrial process, and it's not always pretty. But it's not something we can afford to ignore any longer. Our energy system is becoming less and less reliable, and scientists overwhelmingly agree we need to cut greenhouse gas emissions dramatically to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. Just a mile from historic downtown Sandwich, the region's energy options are laid out for all to see. Standing at the Sandwich Marina, the canal generating plant is just a few hundred feet away. It's a hulking, boxy green building where oil and gas get turned into electricity. One option for meeting our future energy demands is more centralized industrial-scale power production. Call it big energy. But there's an alternative visible from this same spot. Just to the south, a row of four wind turbines spins. Local, small-scale production of renewable energy, like wind, solar, and tidal, that's the other option. First, Jesse Ozebel on big energy.
I think natural gas will dominate the next 50, 60 years. What that involves for New England is building of pipelines.
Ozebel is director of the Program for the Human Environment at the Rockefeller University. He's not a climate change denier, but he says renewables are not the solution to our clean energy needs.
They're nice as boutique fuels, but if you try to scale them up...
The math just doesn't work, he says. For one thing, meeting our energy demands with renewable energy would simply take too much space.
If you try to provide New York City, all of New York City's electricity from windmills, you'd need to cover the state of Connecticut, every square inch.
There's plenty of room and wind offshore, but developers like Cape Wind have hit legal and financial obstacles. Ozebel says the ocean is an expensive and unforgiving place to develop.
There's a lot of optimism or naivete about what can be done offshore.
Solar is more space efficient than wind, and you can put it on existing roofs. A recent report from Environment Massachusetts found that rooftop solar panels on 700,000 homes and businesses could provide a fifth of the Commonwealth's electricity. Ozebel says parking lots could also be covered with canopies of solar panels.
That's a nice example of solar energy.
But sunshine and wind happen when they happen. Batteries or other energy storage technologies are needed to make sure there's electricity available when someone flips a switch. In the end, Ozebel says trying to go all renewable means one thing, a more industrial landscape.
Baloney.
Obviously, George Woodwell disagrees. He's the founder of Woods Hole Research Center, one of the top climate change think tanks in the world. He says complaining about land use for renewable energy is disingenuous, considering the impacts of fossil fuel mining. He also rejects the idea that renewable energy will make New England ugly.
Here in the Woods Hole Research Center, we built a building that is super insulated, has double and triple glazing in the windows. It is, in fact, a beautiful building, inside and out.
The former estate was completely renovated to meet the highest standards of energy efficiency and sustainable building. The interior is modern and sun-drenched, but with a wraparound porch and shingle siding, it retains its historic look, with a couple of exceptions.
We'll stand under the wind machine, which is turning vigorously at the moment.
A large wind turbine stands in front of the building, surrounded by waist-high grass and wildflowers. Turn back to face the building and...
Every roof that can have solar panels on it effectively has solar panels on it.
As a result, this building produces more electricity than it uses. It's a melding of past and future that Woodwell says sets an example for every homeowner and town in New England. In reality, though, industrial-scale power providers are unlikely to go the way of the dodo bird.
I think we will see an increasingly distributed energy system in 25 to 30 years, but I at least think we'll continue to see some of what's called central station generation.
Janet Besser is Vice President for Policy and Government Affairs with the New England Clean Energy Council. She says we need a new and improved transmission grid to manage an increasingly complex hodgepodge of energy sources.
By its very nature, the grid is an interconnected network. And unless that network is modernized, all of the things you have attached to it, great as they may be, will be suboptimal because they're not going to be able to work together.
Besser says a more modern grid would give both providers and consumers a better handle on how much energy is being used, when, and at what cost. That information could be key in helping consumers reduce energy use, and that's something even Ausubel and Woodwell can agree needs to happen. For WCAI, I'm Heather Goldstone.